first Bible I bought after I got saved. Yeah, praise the Lord. Okay, good morning. To the very first church that I've been at since all my dates and churches were canceled. Crazy time. It's a crazy time. I brought this. I'm 64 years old. I know I only look 32. But believe me, I'm 64. Never in my wildest dreams would I ever expect to be wearing this. I've heard about them. I read in history books about plagues, right? The bubonic plague and illnesses like that. I read those in history books. But in my 64 years of living on this earth, I've never had to wear one of these. And it's just mind-boggling. And we just pray to God that we can get through this soon. We all have our theories, right? And so, you know, I respect everybody's theory, but this is just crazy, having to wear masks. And so I was watching last week. It was the day after the 4th of July. I was watching this pastor in, why am I wearing this? I was watching this pastor, you know, you forget you have it on, from Calvary Chapel in Hawaii. And the premise of his message was the fact that this is the first 4th of July that they didn't, in Hawaii, have fireworks. They didn't go to the beach, and they had to stay home. And he said, basically, this world, the Bible teaches that this world is dying, but we're trying to keep it on life support. And the fact that he was saying that he could see signs of, with like a mandatory vaccination, he could see signs of, could that apply to the tribulation period? Are we close? Are we close to Jesus coming back? And it was very profound. It was very riveting hearing all of these quotes from all of these leaders of the world and these leading businessmen in this country and what they felt with what is leading up to a vaccine and all that. And so it was a very compelling message. And the one thing I do know is we can't set dates. And the other thing I do know, beyond a shadow of any doubt, is we are closer to Jesus coming back today than we were yesterday. And I believe that we ought to be prepared. You know, the word says that the Lord's going to come back like a thief in the night. And we as Christians know that he's coming back. And when does a thief break into your house? When you least expect it. We ought not to be taken by surprise. Although we don't know when he's coming back, we ought not be surprised. If Jesus comes back this afternoon while we're at lunch, we shouldn't be surprised, because all the signs are pointing to him coming back. And so I believe that there are at least six things to do to prepare for Jesus coming back. Six things that we as Christians ought to prepare ourselves for, or how we ought to act in preparation for Jesus coming back, especially with all this craziness we're in right now. We are living examples. We are walking sermons. People are looking at us to see if we're being a chicken little or if we have confidence in the Lord, knowing that none of this has taken God by surprise. God knew this was all going to happen. And this is, in fact, all part of God's plan. And so we could be great examples to those who do not know the Lord, just in the way we conduct ourselves in what I believe are the last days. Six things to prepare for the Lord's return. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to the book of Acts. Book of Acts. Every scripture verse we're going to look at this morning has to do with Jesus Christ coming back, returning to this earth. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 11. Verse 11, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." That last song I sung, "Gone," is the name of the song. It talks about Jesus isn't in the grave anymore. And we know for a fact that he is risen and he ascended into heaven. But that same Jesus is coming back. And so what can we do to prepare ourselves for the coming back of Jesus? Well, number one, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke chapter 12. The Gospel of Luke chapter 12, verse 37. Luke 12, 37. If you have a red letter edition of the Bible, these letters, these words are in red, which means Jesus himself is doing the talking. Verse 37, "Blessed are those servants," this is what Jesus says, "blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. But blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching." We ought to be prepared. This ought not take us by surprise. We ought to be watching for the Lord's return every single day. Blessed are those, Jesus said. Blessed means happy. We ought to be happy. We ought to be confident. We ought to be expecting the return of the Lord any day. We ought not to set dates, but we ought to be watching and expecting that his return is imminent. Blessed. Are you happy today? Are you happy knowing that Jesus Christ could come back this afternoon? We should be. Number two, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 13. "To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in," what's the next word? "Holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints." Unblameable in holiness. The closer we are to Jesus coming back, the holier we should be. The holier we should be living our lives. So many of us want to kind of straddle the fence post, And I believe that we ought to live a holier life. We ought to be closer to Jesus today than we were yesterday. That in our relationship, in our lifestyle, in the things we do, in the things we say. I was telling Pastor Rick earlier, I need to get off of Facebook. Because when I see videos on Facebook and I say things that I should have a Band-Aid on my tongue because I've been biting my tongue so much. And that what seeing all the negative videos and the commentary and the posts, I mean, it doesn't help me live a holier life. Let me testify and say that. So I need to get off of Facebook. But we are walking sermons. There are some people who will not darken the door of a church, and you're the only sermon they're ever going to see. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one would walk with me than merely show me the way. For the eye is a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counseling can be confusing, but an example is always clear. The best of all the teachers are the ones who live their creed. To see the good in action is what everybody needs. I can soon learn to do it if you let me see it done. I can watch your words in action, but your tongue too fast may run. I may misunderstand you in the high advice you give, but there can be no misunderstanding in how you act and how you live. We are walking sermons, every one of us here this morning. People are watching you. My grandkids are watching me. So number one, we ought to be happy and blessed and ought to be watching. Number two, we ought to be living a holier life. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verses, starting with 11. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ," verse 14, "who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people." What's the next word? Zealous. Zealous of good works. Zealous. Another word for zealous is passion. Being passionate about something. I'm zealous in my music. I'm zealous in the ministry. I'm passionate about that. I want to do the best I can. I'm amazed at the lack of zealousness or passion in the churches today. People don't get excited anymore like we ought to get excited for the Lord. I make no apologies when I go to different churches. I'll go to churches and I'll be up here excited for the Lord. And I'll see people in the seats in the sanctuary kind of like snicker and look at each other and like, I can't believe he's so excited up there. I make no apologies. That's how God wired me. I'm thankful that he saved my soul on August 4th of 1986. I was on my way to hell, and now I'm born again. I make no apologies. I get passionate about my music. I get passionate about the Lord. There's a lack of zealousness, a lack of passion for the cause of Christ today. I'm a product of the 70s. I was born in 1956. In the 70s, I was a teenager. And there was a boxer by the name of Randall Tex Cobb from Corpus Christi, Texas. And he was a world champion kickboxer. He was undefeated as a kickboxer. He was a freak of nature. He was like 6'9". He had a reach like you wouldn't believe. And he was a kickboxer. Somebody convinced him, Randall Tex Cobb, true story. Someone convinced Randall Tex Cobb to move from Corpus Christi, Texas to Philadelphia and become a heavyweight boxer. And so Randall did just that. And he moved from Corpus Christi to Philadelphia. And much like those Rocky movies, he was in those dingy gymnasiums and practicing, honing his skills in boxing and taking on one boxer at a time. Now, there's a huge difference between kickboxing and heavyweight boxing. Huge. He started winning his bouts, his fights. He started winning them so much that He finally got the chance to fight the world heavyweight champion, Larry Holmes. How many have ever heard of Larry Holmes? I remember watching this fight between Randall Tex Cobb and Larry Holmes. I was a teenager. I was watching it at my mom and dad's house where I lived, grew up. And in that fight, Larry Holmes just assaulted mercilessly Randall Tex Cobb. Larry Holmes won the fight, beating Randall Tex Cobb 15 rounds to zero. And the end of the fight, Randall Tex Cobb's face looked like hamburger. And I remember Howard Cosell interviewed Larry Holmes first. And he said, "Champ, you have retained your heavyweight championship belt. What do you have to say about your opponent tonight, Randall Tex Cobb?" Larry Holmes says, "Howard, that guy's a freak of nature. He hit me one time in the first round, and I determined right then and there I don't want to get hit a second time. I did everything I could to beat this guy." And so then Howard Cosell went to Randall Tex Cobb and said, "Tex, what have you got to say about the boxing match tonight?" And Randall Tex Cobb says, "What are you talking about, Howard?" He says, "You know, the fight between you and Larry Holmes. What have you got to say about the fight?" And Tex Cobb says, "The fight? There was a fight tonight? I don't remember any fight. I don't remember any fight. No, there wasn't a fight, Howard." "Oh, Howard, you mean the boxing match? Yeah, that Larry Holmes is something, man. He put up a good fight there in the boxing match. But Howard, this was a boxing match. Back where I come from, if you're in a fight, you stay fighting until there's only one man standing. Why? If I had another 15 rounds, I would have had him." That, my friend, is zealousness, passion. Another 15 rounds, I would have had him. Because back where I come from, we keep fighting until there's only one standing. This was a boxing match. And Christian, today, with everything going on, all the craziness with the masks and everything else, the washing of hands, with all the craziness, I read the back of the book, and we win. It may look like the devil's winning right now. It may look like things are really crazy. But let me tell you, this did not take God by surprise. This is all part of his plan. And so we need to be more zealous in our living for the Lord, in our walk with the Lord, in our testimony. Another 15 rounds. The devil looks like he's winning. But you know what? I read the back of the book and we win. And so we need to be more zealous in our walk with the Lord in our preparation for Jesus coming back. Number four, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. Here's a familiar verse for you if you're a Bible reader. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore," verse 18, "wherefore," what's the next word? Comfort. Comfort one another with these words. We need to be an encouragement to others, to not a discouragement. The need of the hour in New Testament churches today is encouragement. We need, especially in these crazy times we're in, we need to be more of an encouragement to people who do not know the Lord, who the people who are truly have fear in their lives, we have the power, we have the capability to be an encouragement to others. You know, I tell pastors, I remind pastors, you know, growing up in some of these camps where there's a lot of preachers who are real mad and they kick over microphone stands and they snort and they have these sour looks on their face. I tell them, I remind them, I said, God isn't mad in every church service. Sometimes he's happy. Sometimes God's happy, right? And we can be happy. God isn't mad all the time. And so we need to be more of an encouragement. You know, I like watching, I read different sermons. And I saw on the internet, there was a sermon database that the title of the message was, How to Have the Joy of the Lord. How to Have the Joy of the Lord. And it was by this pastor. And I said, wow, that's interesting. How to have the joy of the Lord. Why, we all want to have the joy of the Lord, don't we? Why, right? And me being the type of guy that the way God wired me, I said, you know what? I want to read. I want to check this guy out, how to have the joy of the Lord. So I clicked on the pastor's biography, and he had his picture, and his picture looked like this. How to have the joy of the Lord. Bless God. It's like, dude, if that's the joy of the Lord, no thank you, right? So we need the need this hour as we are waiting for Jesus to come back is we need to comfort one another. Be more of an encouragement. You know, every person that walks in for the first time in your church, Brother Rick, chances are things aren't going really good in their lives. And they're looking for answers. They're looking for answers. It's not like, well, honey, you know what? Why? Life has been so good. Why, we have more money than we know what to do with. I have a great job. You have a great job. We've got lots of money in the bank. All the kids are healthy. Our relationship and our marriage is beyond what it was even the day we got married. Why, we haven't been to church in so long. But because things are going so good in our lives, let's try church again. No, usually things aren't going too good. And they've tried everything else. And so they try church again. They're looking for answers. And so let me encourage you, members of First Baptist, be an encouragement to others. Comfort one another with these words. Look with me in 1 John chapter 2, and let me get there myself. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, talking about Jesus coming back. We see in verse 28, and now little children abide in him, that when he shall appear, talking about Jesus, we may have, what's the next word? Confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. We are to be confident. We are to be ready. We are to not catch ourselves off guard. I just state the truth that I believe there are Christians today who really don't want Jesus to come back quite yet. Maybe their lives are messed up. Maybe they haven't had the time to witness to the loved ones, their family members they really want to witness to. Maybe they're living a life that they ought really not to be living. And I, if Jesus were to come back this afternoon, I dare to say there's probably some Christians who are saying, oh man, I wish he wouldn't have come back so soon. I've got this mess I need to clean up first. They're not confident. Like the Apostle John on the island of Patmos, he ends his writings with, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. John was confident. He was confident in the way he lived. He was confident in if Jesus were to come back, he would not have anything to be embarrassed about. What about us today? Are we living a confident life? Are we boldly expecting Jesus to come back and we're okay if he does? Or is there things in our lives we ought to change just in case he comes back? I think we need to live a more confident life. I think confidence is important in those who are looking at us, in how we project ourselves in this time of the coronavirus. I believe it's important that we have confidence and we have belief in that God is in control. And yes, we take precautionary measures, but in the end, we know that all things work together for good and God is in control. And people are watching us. How are we reacting to this virus? So we see we need to be alert, we need to be watching, we need to be a happy Christian. We need to live a holier life. We're walking sermons, right? I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. We see that we ought to be more zealous, like Randall Tex Cobb was in believing in himself. Another 15 rounds, I would have had him. We need to be more passionate in our walk and in our ministry, in our testimony. Be more zealous and passionate for God. We need to be more of an encouragement to others, right? We need to encourage others. We need to be confident in the way we act and live, and confident in our walk, and confident in how we handle these situations we're in today, because people are watching us. But finally, turn with me to Acts chapter 1 again, where we started out this message. And turn with me to verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and this is Jesus talking. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. Those were the last words Jesus spoke before he ascended into heaven. And what was he telling his disciples? Tell others. Tell others I'm coming back. Tell others that I'm the one, I'm the way to heaven. We are to tell others. Those were his last words. Now, normally, if you know these are the last words before you die, before you aren't going to see your loved ones for quite a while, it's going to be important. If the doctor told me that I have 24 hours to live and I am going to die tomorrow night, I have a son, Eric, who lives in LA. I would call him and say, son, you need to come to Bay City. That's where I'll be. I won't have time to go back to Florida. I only have 24 hours. And I would call all my children, all my grandchildren, and I would assemble them into my bedroom, and I would tell them what's really important, that I spent all of their inheritance. I don't have a dime. I'm leaving them. No. I would not discuss sports, right? That's trivial stuff. I wouldn't discuss Florida and palm trees and Fort Myers Beach. And I mean, that's not important in the grand scheme of things. No, I only have 24 hours here, right? So what I'm going to talk about is going to be really important. The gospel, ensuring that they're all saved. How to live, right? Those are the important things. Because you see, I'm going to be dying soon. So Jesus, his last words to his disciples before he knew he was ascending into heaven, was to, he told, what did he tell his disciples? Tell others. And that's our job today. There's a reason every one of us here is still here. Because God is not done with any of us. We are to tell others. What about you today? We see that Jesus is coming back. It could be this afternoon. Could be next week. Could be 50 years from now. But he's coming back. And these are just six areas that we ought to focus on in the hopes and looking at Jesus coming back. I share this message to those who are saved. Those of us here today who've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. This message was for you. How we ought to live our Christian life in preparation of Jesus coming back. But if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, it's not a coincidence you're here. God knew you were going to be here today. And the time to settle it is right now. None of us are guaranteed of tomorrow. I'm not guaranteed of making it back to Bay City tomorrow morning. But I know one thing. If something were to happen to me between here and Bay City, I'm in heaven. Not because I play the saxophones. Not because I preach messages to churches like this. No, none of that. The reason I'd be in heaven is because on August 4th of 1986, at the age of 30, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's what's getting me to heaven. What about you this morning? You may have known the right answer if someone were to ask you the question, but in your heart of hearts, you'll admit you've truly never been born again. If that's you this morning, here's your opportunity to settle it once and for all. I'm going to ask Pastor Rick to come forward and continue the invitation. But I would not leave this church this morning without settling it once and for all.
Let's stand together, if you will, as the gospel's gone forth and as the Holy Spirit leads and guides and directs. Again, we want to open the altar. If you want to come to pray on your own, you're welcome to do that. If we can pray or you want us to pray with you, we'd be glad to do that. Brother Bud's here. I'd be glad to pray with you or help in any way. If you want to talk about the church or membership of the church, I'd be glad to visit with you about that. Main thing is know just what he just said, that you're saved and you know you're saved. And when the Lord comes, you're ready to meet him. So the musicians are going to come. They're going to play a verse of invitation. And let's pray, and then we'll have the altar call. Heavenly Father, God, today we surrender all this to you today, Father, and just commit all this to the Holy Spirit of God. Would ask him to lead, guide, and direct in the hearts and lives of people. And Holy Spirit, we just pray that you would just convict of sin and draw people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's somebody here not saved, they'd open their heart and be willing to trust him today. And God, if there's somebody here today that was hesitant and fearful, and we ought not to live, as Brother Dennis said, our lives in fear and panic, but to realize that you're on the throne and you are coming back, and we can enjoy our lives here and be prepared for that time when you come. So God, just speak to hearts as we surrender all to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. You come as the Holy Spirit leads. with every head bowed and every eye closed, while these are praying here at the altar, I'd encourage you to take a moment, maybe to pray right there today for somebody you know that's not saved, somebody you know that might be a family member, a neighbor, somebody you work with, and try to put a name and a face in somebody that you can reach out to and touch with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray then the Holy Spirit would just lead and guide and direct and convict their heart and draw them to Christ. I'd encourage you also in this time of prayer to lift up our country and our nation and pray for our president and our leaders and our congressional leaders and around the country, those that serve in positions as governors and mayors. The weight is heavy right now upon their shoulders. And pray for the leaders across our land. So Heavenly Father, today we love you today and thank you for these today that have responded to the Holy Spirit of God. And I just pray that those requests would be met in their hearts today as they pray to you and whatever that need might be. And Father, today we do pray for our country and for our nation. We thank you for our freedoms. We thank you just coming through the July 4th holiday reminds us of the liberties and freedoms we have here in America. God, we also remind as we look around this world, realizing that the world still has a lot of sin and wickedness and evil in it. And God, today we should be praying each and every day, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. As Brother Dennis said in his message today, God, until he comes, and Father, until you send him here at the second coming of Christ, that we need to be busy and be able to reach out with the gospel to every person that we can, every family that we can, that can be impacted with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. So, Father, today, help us to be busy about the Master's business and that which you've called us to do, all of us, to carry out the Great Commission. And God, will be sure to give you the praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated just for a moment, and let me just share a couple announcements and so we're going to ask the ushers to go ahead and prepare themselves. We're going to take a love offering, and today this offering here, the love offering, will be strictly for Brother Dennis, and we want to encourage, if you want to use the envelope, you can do that. Put your giving number on there or however you want to do that, and we want to give him a generous love offering today as he comes to minister the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ today in this place. And so one is, we've been trying to get situated to be able to serve the Lord's Supper. And I appreciate Nicole Myla has a ministry here in our church where she prepares the bread and the juice and everything. We've not forgot about serving the Lord's Supper. We just felt with the coronavirus going on and serving the communion like we normally do, that we're going to kind of put that on hold for just a little bit. So we ordered the communion wafer and cups that come in a package individually wrapped. And guess what? Churches, other churches must be thinking like us, because those are on back order all over the country. And we can't get them. We were going to serve the Lord's Supper in June, and we can't get those in. And now here in July, they're not here. As soon as they get here, we'll announce the Lord's Supper and serve that. So I just wanted to throw that out there so you know we haven't forgot about that and that. And so be much in prayer about that. Read the bulletin, the announcements. Service tonight at 6 o'clock. Brother Dennis will be back. And once you come, brother, he's going to say something about the table, and then he's going to slip out there. You can get a chance to visit with Brother Dennis out there.
Praise the Lord. Thanks, Brother Rick. Okay, so I've got 10 CDs available at my table. I've been doing this for this ministry for 20 years now. I've got 10 CDs available. In all my travels throughout the years, people would come up to my merchandise table and say, boy, I really like this song that you played and that song that you sung and this song that you played. And, oh, those words on that song spoke to me. Which CDs are they on? And I would say it's on this CD, it's on this CD, it's on this CD, and that one's on this CD, and this one's on this CD. And CDs are $15 a piece, and they would end up enjoying five songs, and they'd end up having to pay $75 for those five songs. And so I worked with my record company in Nashville, Tennessee last year, and they've identified through their tracking through iTunes and Spotify and digital downloads and Amazon.com and the purchases at the table, they've identified 30 of my most requested songs out of the 10 CDs. And they put together this commemorative CD booklet called The Essential Dennis Guizdella, and it has two CDs, 30 of my most requested songs. You can get this at my table for only $15. Normally that would run 30 bucks, but you can get this commemorative, the Essential Dennis Quazzella 2-CD set for $15. And I'll even sweeten the pot. You can get another CD of your choice, which would make it the third CD, for only $5. So for a $20 bill, for 20 bucks, you can get the commemorative, the Essential Dennis Quazzella, and another CD of your choice. I make it very simple. I accept cash, check, credit card. Whatever works for you works for me. I'll be at the table. I'll be wearing my mask, okay? So feel comfortable to come on up and check out what I have available. I'd love to have you come up, and even, if nothing else, just chat for a minute or two. But thank you so much for allowing me to be here. I'm looking forward to tonight. We're going to get crazy tonight. We're going to have a great time as I minister through entirely through music. Thank you so much. Check out the Essential Dennis Quazzella.
Okay, thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. All right, gentlemen, if you'll come, Brother Dennis will make his way to the foyer. And so as the men come at this time, we'll pass the offering plate, and then we'll dismiss the service. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we love you today, and thank you for the opportunity to be in the Lord's house, and thank you for the opportunity to give. And God, we know that you call servants into the ministry, missionaries, evangelists, and pastors, and those laborers. And God, we know today, thank you for bringing Brother Dennis our way, and we want to give back a love offering gift to him that'll be a blessing and encouragement along in his ministry. Keep him safe as he travels. Thank you for the opportunity to give today in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, they're going to pass the offering plates. Go right ahead, or whoever's playing. All right, let's stand together if you will, and good to see you in the Lord's house today, and encourage you to be back tonight if you can at 6 o'clock, and we look forward to the service. With the coronavirus thing going on, we haven't been shaking hands at the door. I got to tell you, I miss that, and so this morning, here's your handshake. So you stick your hand out there, and there you go. So there's your handshake. Good to see you in church, and come back. Have a great day. Good to see you here today.
His courts with praise. the nephew, their daughter was supposed to get married in July, and canceled it until next July.
See, and that's just it, you know.
They're going next Friday up toward Traverse City, and just the immediate family, and
it's just
they're
going to
get married. But then I guess they couldn't cancel a lot of their stuff, so they may have something next year, a one-year anniversary wedding.
Well, that's just it, because that's, you know, Amelia wants to have kids, and she's going to be 33 this year. So, you know, for them to put it off for another year is ridiculous. So, you know, if they get to the point where it gets shut down or whatever, they'll go ahead and get married, and then next year, whatever they do, you know. Because, again, they're not getting refunds.
Well, that's a shame that they don't give.
It's all just bullshit. Sorry. That's exactly how I feel.
I mean, it just... You can't have it, you can't.